So we're reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 15, the angel's announcement. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So, angels are assigned to churches. You know, we discovered that in the book of Revelation. So I do really pray that today that you sense the angelic realm. That, you know, and I think often in scripture it's about we believe it and then we see it. Quite often we say, "Nah, I got to see it to believe it." But actually believe it and then see it. That's what the shepherds did. Do you know what I mean? Like these angels come, they're like, "Hey, the Messiah's here." They're like, "Wee, let's go." You know, it's just incredible, isn't it? How their faith. And I think if we have faith to realize that there is this angelic realm, because angels play such a key part in this narrative, this infancy narrative, which covers all the different narratives in scripture. An angel announced the birth of the forerunner of Christ, which was John the Baptist. Yeah. An angel came to Mary to announce the birth of the Messiah and to tell her what name he was to bear. An angel came to Joseph in a dream to assure him the Christ child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. An angel came to Joseph again to warn him to flee to Egypt and then to come back again. Another angel appeared. But the angels we're focusing on today are the angels who were the first to announce the birth of Christ, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Savior of the world to the shepherds. Angels actually play a really key part in the heavenly realms and on earth. You know, they're just mentioned in Luke alone, if you just read the beginning, the infancy narratives, 15 times the angelic realm are mentioned. And they are, as you probably are aware, common throughout scripture. But many don't take them seriously. And research shows, and I wonder if this is how I feel as well, research shows that the average Christian would not deny their reality, but angels would really make no practical difference to them if such beings did not exist. Are we an average Christian? You know, would it make any difference to your life if angels didn't exist? So today we're going to marvel at God's creation as angels. I'm going to, you know, we've got a little quiz actually coming up. You know, it's Christmas, so we've got to have a little quiz. And you're going to do a true-false thing with me. And then we're going to look at the eternal message that the angels bring that wasn't just for then, but it is for today. So are you ready? You haven't got buzzers, you got thumbs. This means it's true. This means you have no idea. And this means it's false, okay? All right. Question number one. Angels appear as both male and female in the Bible. Hup, hup, hup. Okay. So, angels always have the pronoun he, but so does the Holy Spirit. Angelos, the word for angels in Greek, has no feminine counterpart. However, angels, when they do appear, they're described like a man. But in short, angels are spirit. They never appear feminine in scripture. It's interesting, isn't it? They appear feminine or quite feminine-like in the movies that you see and things like that. But actually, they are you know, they are counted as a sort of male, but actually they are no gender at all. So it was a trick question. It was false, all right, but it was trick, okay? Number two, angels are intelligent beings created by God and are part of his plan and purposes for the universe. Hallelujah. Yes. And I mean, you can't deny that throughout the whole of the Christmas story, can you? And also in Matthew 24, it says the angels know so much, more than we do, in fact, but they just don't know when when Jesus is coming again. And in Samuel, 2 Samuel 14, the angels are described as intelligent beings. So they're incredibly intelligent beings. Angels are part of God's unseen creation. They can make themselves seen on earth, and they are immortal. Oh, I'm going to do a hallelujah again. Yeah, the whole Christmas story tells you this, doesn't it? They are immortal because they're spirits. Yeah, they don't have a body like we do. Now, the next one. Are there all these different types of angels? Are there warrior angels? Are there angels to attend God's throne? Are there angels who guard the mercy seat in heaven? Are there ministering angels to help serve, protect believers? Are there messenger angels to bring messages from God to people? Are there all these different types of angels? Yes, every single type of angel exists, and you'll find them in different parts of the story. In Ezekiel, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I get really frustrated when I watch movies or things like that. Cherubim. Do you know what I mean? This is what a cherubim is described like. It's not a chubby little angel naked with a couple of wings. Do you know what I mean? Cherubim are described with four different faces. They're described with eyes all over their wings. They're described as huge angels, angelic realm. Maybe this isn't your typical image of what an angel looks like, but I'm trying to get us to imagine actually what the angelic realm really, really looks like. Because all the images that perhaps you've got to this date are from, you know, are not from scripture, but from people's impressions or movies. Yeah. That's what a cherubim actually looks like, described in Ezekiel 10. And this is what the seraphim look like, the fiery angels in Isaiah 6. I mean, they're enormous and they've got fire coming out of them. They're just made of fire. It is incredible. So can we get rid of this sort of chubby little tiny thing? And can we actually realize that this is an incredible, as you remember, I said, my point is to marvel at God's heavenly creation. And that's just two parts of it. So in the Bible, again, is this true? Maybe not so. Or is it false? We're given the names of some of the angels. They've actually got names. We've got Archangel Michael. We've got Gabriel the messenger. We've got seraphim and cherubim. I've just shown you pictures, so please don't tell me they're not right. And Raphael, who brings healing. True, not sure, down. It's really interesting, isn't it? So Raphael is not in the Protestant Bible. He's in the Apocrypha, in the book of Tobit. And so, you know, but we hear about that. And so the Catholics believe they've got in their Bible Uriel and Raphael. And so other angels as well. But in the Protestant Bible, and I don't mind which one you read, they're all, it's good stuff in them. So actually, this is false because Raphael is not in the Bible that we normally use. And then these cartoons all show, don't they, that when people die, they go up to heaven as angels. True, false? Very false. Yeah. I mean, it's like these cartoons. And so kids get the impression that this is what the angelic realm are like. And you know... I just love us to be able to explain that the angelic realm are just a marvelous creation, almost beyond our imagination, you know, because each time that Daniel or Ezekiel or others actually encounter these angelic realm, they're struggling for words. It's, they're like this and they're like that. Or John in the book of Revelation, it's really hard to actually describe this marvelous creation. And I think you guys are really good at marveling at God's earthly creation. That you look at the sunrise, you look at the sunset, you look at the flowers. It was, wasn't it? Yeah. And we marvel at God's earthly creation, but we don't marvel at his heavenly beings. You know, we've talked about this before. There's not just seraphim and cherubim. There's messenger angels. There's hosts of angels. There's army of angels. There's principalities, powers, dominions. There's even wheels. You know, I'm not sure what that's about, but you know, this is an incredible creation. Can we marvel in our God who can create such incredible beings, not just us, not just this planet, but the heavenly realm as well? And as I said, I've been pondering this, you know, and I was like trying to think, well, okay, angels, was this good news to you? And I felt like the Lord said, yes, it was really good news to the angels too, that the Messiah had come. Because in the past, they didn't have an army of people. They had one or two who were filled with the Holy Spirit, remember? And so they were partnering with them. God was not present in human form on earth. God was not present in believers. In Christ, having Christ in us, having the Holy Spirit on us. So the angelic realm are thinking, oh, finally, somebody else to help us. Yes, somebody else to help fight evil, somebody else to be passing on messages, somebody else to support us in the work that we have to do. And the work that we do is obviously always to acknowledge who God is, point people to God, bring messages from God, help people worship God. And I think there's one little verse in the whole of scripture, when John's like worshiping an angel, he's bowing down and says, and the angel says, don't worship me. And that's the point, isn't it? We're not meant to worship angels, but I don't think we're meant to ignore them. I think we're meant to welcome them and encourage them and say, Lord, I'd love to see your angelic realm. I'd love to partner with your angelic realm. You know, forgive me for not, you know, just enjoying earthly creation, not recognizing what an amazing God we serve who has created this phenomenal angelic realm as well. Part two of my message this morning. So part one, can we marvel at the angelic realm? Can we, you know, imagine it? Can we begin to believe it and see it happen? But let's look at the second part of why the angels came to the shepherds that day. And let's look at the message they brought, and is a message that we can identify with today. The angels said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. If you understand the Greek, when the angels came, they came in the darkest part of the night. And I like that. The shepherds would have been at their loneliest. They would have been that like, oh my goodness, it's pitch black out here. You know, can I see my hand? Because they didn't have, you know, electricity in those days, as I'm sure you're aware. But they came in the darkest times of the night as they were on the outskirts of Bethlehem. But I wonder if you realize what shepherds' status was in biblical times, because they weren't just physically outside, they were metaphorically outside of society. They were the lowliest and loneliest, just about got it out, of occupations. They were counted as unclean because they couldn't be pure, because they couldn't go to the temple three times a day and worship. They were counted as not religious because they couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't keep the Sabbath day. I mean, to be honest with you, they were out in these fields. There wasn't a bathroom, I guess. And so they didn't bathe regularly. And so when they probably came into town, you probably smelt them before they actually personally arrived. And so they were social outcasts. I can't imagine their clothes and I can't imagine the smell, because you've been out with the sheep and just sleeping rough for a long time. And even according to rabbinical law, they were not allowed to be called as witnesses, as they were considered inconsequential to society. And most of them they didn't own the sheep. They were just hired labor. They were poor. Don't you think this is really key, who God chose to give the message to? This is a revelation of who our God is, that he came to the marginalized, he came to the poor, he came to those who were outcasts in society. This is who he chose to give the message of the millennials to make this incredible announcement. You see, God's heart for the shepherds resulted in the heavens opening for them. Again, please try and imagine this. Before you go home today, can you just imagine, like, the heavens open, angels start singing to them, the glory of the Lord is shining all around them, and these humble shepherds are tasked with being the first witnesses of the Messiah, God, coming to earth in human form. This is our God. He speaks to us in the dark times, in the lonely times, in the frustrating times. This is our God who, when he comes, he brings light in the darkness. He brings his glory. He brings his love, hope, peace, and joy. That's the message. He comes as the Messiah. He comes as a phenomenal Messiah who says, hey, I can deal with any sin in your life. I can deal with death itself. I have come to deliver you from evil. I have come as Lord, all-powerful and mighty, to rescue, save, and deliver. You know, the first words out of the angels' mouths were encouraging. Again, if you imagine that scene of these angelic realm coming, and they were like, do not be afraid. In fact, in Hebrew, it's do not, you know, it was, you're so fearful of fear. It's like they were terrified, which is a good translation that you read today. You know, they were terrified. And because there's two mentions of fear, remember, it's like bolding and underlined. They were absolutely terrified. But the idea is that God says to us always, you do not need to fear. Because we know that when we make a decision based on fear, it won't be a good decision. When we make a decision based on love, it will be a good decision. God always has a message to encourage us, to give us hope, love, joy, peace, which is what we celebrate this Advent season. And I love the fact that he sent a whole army of angels. It could have been just one, like Gabriel or Michael coming to Daniel, but it was a whole host of angels. And they were called warrior angels, army angels. I mean, you know, if you look in Daniel, he describes them like with a gold belt and sort of blue and topaz and bronze legs and huge carrying weapons. And I'm thinking, this is the angelic realm that turned up. And this is saying to the angels, hey, I've got you. I mean, this is the army that's behind. Remember the story of Elijah and his, I can never remember the one, and his servant. Do you know what I mean? And he's like, oh my goodness, this whole army is coming towards us. And Elijah says to his servant, hey, look, I'll just open your eyes so you can see the angelic realm. And then he sees the angelic realm and he's like, yeah, so what? All this army is coming against us, but we've got the angelic realm on our side. It was interesting on Friday night, we were at the musical extravaganza and Bev was there and she saw my earrings, which are, you know, of angels, appropriate for today. And she was just, I said, well, I'm speaking on Sunday about angels. And I said, what impression do you have? And, you know, it was of what she'd seen on the TV. And I said to her, actually, they're like this. And as I started describing them, she says, that really encourages me, because she says, this is the type of angelic realm that can give me victory, that can help, that can come alongside. And she went away really buoyed up, because she's like, angels, they are incredible, powerful, mighty part of God's creation. And I love the shepherds' hearts. Do you know what I mean? As soon as they hear, they leave everything and run. I still get a little bit challenged by that. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Lord is over here and wants you to go over here. Do I literally just leave everything, or do I think, I just finish the washing up, or I'll just do this and then I'm ready to do that? Do you know what I mean? Well, you know, are we as quick as those shepherds just to say, right, let's go, let's drop everything and go and see what the Lord is doing? And the angels came with a message to pass on. I'm going to read the second part of that reading, Luke 2, 16 to 20. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And as I said at the beginning, God had been quiet for 400 years. And then suddenly this angelic realm comes to the shepherds. But you know what? There were a few shepherds who got the angel visitation. The rest of Bethlehem just heard the message through the shepherds, through the lowest of the low, through ordinary people. And sometimes I think we're waiting for this massive angelic realm when actually God's going to speak to us through others. I remember the first time I heard, well, second time I heard about the angelic realm, there was a guy who came to us. He had five children. His wife had just died, five young children. And he said he was desperate, and he'd come to the church that I was leading in Loughborough at that time. And he said he was just lying on his sofa, just thinking, I can't do this. I just cannot do this with the kids causing mayhem around him. And as they drifted off to sleep, suddenly this massive angel appeared to him. And he said the angel didn't need to say anything. It was just like his presence was like, it's going to be okay. And so the next Sunday, he brought all of his kids to church. And when he shared this story, the rest of us were like, oh, we want to see an angel like that. And yet, if you think about it, in Bethlehem, the majority of people heard through just ordinary other people. The message was passed on through people. And again, it was a lesson to me not to, I want, you know, yeah. The angels will come. They're here. You know, we're assigned angels. Angels are all around. When we pray for people who are sick, ministering angels will be with them because that's what God's word said. Ordinary people, you and me, are to pass this wonderful message on of good news. And point four, my last point, the angels worshipped God and brought a promise. This is the promise. Remember, glory to God in the highest. In other words, worship him, and on peace to those on whom his favor rests. There's peace for those on whom his favor rests. Peace that passes understanding, a peace that guards your heart and mind, a peace that helps us in times of trouble. But remember, it's not peace as an absence of conflict and quiet. That's not the peace he's talking about. He's talking about shalom. A peace of your body, mind, and spirit. That's the message that he has for earth. That's the message that we pass on as we lit this third candle representing peace. We have shalom that we can pass on to others. But it says, did you see there on the screen? It says, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Favor is often translated as grace. And what that basically means is those who've received his grace, those who've received God's forgiveness, those who've received him as their Messiah and Lord and Savior will be given the gift of peace. It's available to all. But those who receive his grace will actually experience it. So let's conclude. Can we marvel at a God this season who not only created a beautiful, magnificent earth and wonderful people, but also marvel at the God who created the heavens and the mysterious and glorious and powerful heavenly beings to fulfill his plans and purposes? Can we receive that shalom peace? And like we sang, can it flow out through us? Can we receive his grace and mercy this season so we can pass this on to others? Do you know what I mean? This is the message you carry. You carry a peace that the world longs for. Can we pass that on this season? And can we be a people prepared whenever the opportunity arises to share this message, this Advent message of hope, peace, joy, and love? People's hearts are ready. I was sharing with Dave yesterday. I'm expecting to invite my neighbours to come, you know, knock on their door, take a plant or something and invite them to come. Two of my neighbours have said, what are you doing? Can we come? I haven't even given them a leaflet. I haven't even invited them yet. And Dave's like, of course, we've prayed. And I was just like, that is a change. There's this family on the corner, Kelly and Steve and their four children, who I've been inviting to every messy church for the last 3 years. I wasn't going to invite them to the carol service. But then she's like, what are you doing? Can we come? There is a change, a shift. Do you know what I mean? Are we ready to invite people to come? And another friend, Tracy, she's like, what are you doing for Christmas? Can I come? I'm like, okay. You know, don't forget to text me and remind me when it's happening. Yeah. There's a change in atmosphere around us. Let's take the opportunity that we can to share this message of hope, joy, love, and peace. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that we would experience your glory. Just as the angels brought your glory to the shepherds, that you would bring your glory to us right now. And Lord, we want to receive your glory, not for our benefit, but we want to go from glory to glory for your glory. We want to receive your peace so that we can pass this peace on, that's a shalom peace, that regardless of circumstances, we can be at peace. And Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas story this season, I thank you that the story wasn't just you coming, but you died for us and rose again. You lived out what was promised by the angels, that you were the saviour of the world, that you came in love, that you came to save us from sin and death, that you came to deliver us from evil, and you proved that. You did it. You stretched out your arms and said, this is how much I love you. And you yourself said, you will give us peace. So, Lord, I pray if there's anything that is troubling people's hearts or minds today, Lord, if there's a fear in them, and we just ask your love to come and cast out all fear. We ask your peace to permeate this room, our hearts and our minds, and that peace to flow out of us this season. In Jesus' name, amen.